welcome to today's podcast. This is the 54th in a series titled Design for Life. Life wasn't created at a whim, nor should it be lived that way. This podcast is taken from the Sunday message. It is designed to strengthen the believer's walk and those who have not come to faith to recognize God has designed life to be lived with purpose. I am Pastor David, the assistant pastor at Bethel Gilead Community Church, also known as the Church on Block Road. Well, good morning, everybody. I just want to give a shout out to all you fathers out there. Happy Father's Day. And Jim is on vacation today, so I'm going to be filling in for him. As I kind of mentioned in my morning announcements at 9:30 online, I think he was a bit envious last week when most of us were without power, and he had power the entire time. So to make up for that, so that he could feel as though he didn't miss anything, he took his family camping, okay? Because that's what you do when you're Irwins. You like to rough it. So Jim is out there with his family. He'll be returning this evening, so we can just pray for him and his family as they have safe returns. If you would, just pull out your bulletins. I have a few announcements that I'll be going over before I open with congregational prayer. And then, as you notice in your bulletin, then we have Melissa and Elise who will be doing special music. I will be coming back up and then giving the message and closing in a hymn. When we exit today, if we could please, just remember, just for the safety of social distancing, we're going to exit from the back first and just make your way out. Go outside where there's a nice breeze if you want to talk to each other and you have that much better environment to do that. Also, fathers, because it is Father's Day, you're going to notice out there when you leave, you want to make sure that you pick up a nice pen and a light. Okay, this is going to be our gift to fathers. And if you have a father, okay, that you want to give a gift to, pick it up as well. Give it to him. I'll include this in part of our message. And inside, you're going to find a card with a scripture verse, and I'll be discussing that. The awesome privilege, but also the awesome responsibility of being a father. Okay, well, I won't give any more away about what we'll be talking about today. Also, you'll notice in the back of your bulletin for a way of announcement, we have restroom signs. And what we do is that when you walk out, right out the doors, you're going to find between the two stairs, going upstairs, will be a hand sanitizer station. You're going to find these little signs up there in use. Just what I want you to do is just simply use a hand sanitizer, pick up a sign, and as you walk in, you'll see a little clip place that you can drop it off, one person at a time. Then you come back out, pick that sign up, and go ahead and throw it away. That way, we know who is using the restrooms at any given time, and we really don't have to monitor that. So for your convenience and safety, we put that out there as well. Okay. Hey, today's message on Mother's Day, I also had the privilege of writing the spiritual disciplines. So I'll be going over in much more detail this next week, my morning devotions at 9 o'clock, that you can get on the Bethel Gilead announcements in prayer. That will be talking about what it is to be a father in much more detail, and dealing also with some of those tricky passages that sometimes have been taken out of context. And I think you'll know what those are as we go forward. All right. Well, today also, just as a reminder, we're going to have an opportunity as we talk about fathers. We have mics out here that you're going to be able to come up and just give a testimony, a very quick testimony about your father, maybe a story of what you appreciated about him, or even a shout out. If dad's not here today because dad has to be in the field or doing something else, just give a shout out to your dad. And it's kind of nice with my family not here. They're out of town. I can define my story about my fatherhood, all right? It's much safer that way. And the other thing is my phone is in the other room hooked to live streaming, so during the message, I won't be getting all the text that my children like to send to me at this time on Sunday. So, all right. Well, let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it is so good to be able to call you our Father, to be able to understand in a new and a clearer way that a father's love is so good and so great. A father's love is what draws people. It draws his children. A father's love calls. And Father, we are here today because you have called us. And you have called us your own. And we thank you and we praise you for the opportunity to be called your children. And you tell us that you're not embarrassed of us, that you will always call us your own. And Father, we pray that as we continue to grow and to know you and to love you, not to take advantage of how familiar you become to us, that we will always proclaim your goodness and grace to others. And Lord, we look forward to this opportunity that we can gather around your throne as people around this country, in our county, in many churches, in many places, people at home who are watching now. We can gather all together and we can lift up our voices in song and give an account for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your kindness. And we thank you that we have the opportunity this hour to open your word. And we ask, Lord, that you will speak through your word to our hearts, to your children, the love of the Father. And Lord, we look forward to now this opportunity as we join our voices together, as we celebrate this glorious day and who you are. And we give you thanks and we give you praise in the one and only name, the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Good morning. We're going to start this morning with a song that may be familiar from the radio. It's one that our praise team, when we're praying in the morning, has started to just sing a cappella as a way to usher the Holy Spirit into the room. And so we wanted you guys to learn this because that's what we want today. We want the Holy Spirit to be here and to fill us and draw us closer to Jesus. Elise and I are going to kind of sing it just voices the first time so you can hear it really well, and then you can join us.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord.
Join us.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Your presence, oh God, how we love your presence. Let us become
thankful to Father on this Father's Day. His eye is on the sparrow, he is faithful, and he is great. Start with his eyes on the sparrow.
Jesus is my portion.
Well, it makes it a little difficult to be able to say hello when we have to keep our social distance, but you know we can still feel the vibe, right? We still know that we are so glad to be gathered together, to be able to come together in agreement, to worship our Lord and Savior, to encourage one another with a smile, with a hello, or whatever it might be. Amen. Isn't it? Okay, well, you know, what we're just going to do is celebrate fatherhood, how important fatherhood is. And before I talk about how important it is by giving us an example, many of us already know. You know, and I've asked that we have an opportunity just to share some positive, remember positive, okay, parts of our dads. Because, you know, there is so much to fatherhood that we contribute in such a positive way. And that's what we're going to share. You know, my daughter is, and they came in, we kind of celebrated Father's Day yesterday on the lake and on the boat and had a lot of fun. And then this morning, the text messages all came, Happy Father's Day, this, that, and the other. And my daughter, Emily, who was the most challenging to raise, she sends a text, Happy Father's Day, thank you, Dad, for saving my life when Mom wanted to kill me. You know, her memory of me is stepping in at times, you know. And I think of my dad. This week, I had to stop by the farm at Bob's place and pick up a folder, two of them. And one of the folders was an old folder that he had gotten from my dad. And what it spelled out is typical fashion, like my dad, step by step, if he should pass away, this is where you're going to find this for the church, this is where you're going to find this, and this is where you're going to find. And I'm listening to it. Yeah, this is Dad. This is absolute. This is the keystrokes you have to use on the computer to get to, and so on and so forth. But then there was this line that was thrown in, and it says, if you're looking for anything else, it's probably anywhere else. You know. And I read that, and I said, that is my dad. He had such a dry sense of humor. And if you didn't pay attention, you missed it. But, you know, a lot of times you go, huh? And, you know, so the memories that we have of our fathers. And I can remember my dad as a young dad, because, you know, it's a strange thing. Some of us, we can call back when we were 3-4 years old and such. And I remember my dad just constantly telling me, son, I love you. And, you know, that ball that goes in the road, it can always be replaced. But we can't replace you. You know, and I thought, okay, Dad, I love that. And he told me that over and over. To eventually I got into the point of, okay, yeah, the dad, the ball in the road, you can't replace me, but can I really still go do this, you know? And so I had that memory of my dad. And then the other piece I had was anytime I go to work with my dad on a Saturday, sometime I would hide. You know, remember the old station wagons? And he had those back seats and that they folded down. Well, I go out in the car, I'd get under that back seat and I'd pull it over me. And then I waited until all of a sudden he hears a noise 15 minutes down the road. What's that noise back there? And I pop up and I said, here I am, Dad. And I go to work with him. And every time I go to work and there would be other people working, they say, you know, your dad's a good man. Your dad's a good man. And I heard that over the years many times. And again, I took it for granted that Dad was a good man. He was a hard worker. He was a provider. People respected him. And then I got into my teenage years. And I met a lot of my friends' dads. And I realized, whoa, I thought that there was just like this man code. Whenever you were around another man's son, you just simply said, you know, your dad's a really good man. You'll never find anybody like him. But I realized that wasn't the truth. There were a lot of dads who were not good men, who were not the loving and faithful, who never told their children, you know, I love you, son. Whoever showed their wives the respect that my dad showed my mom. And I took it for granted. I thought, all dads were like this, you know, and they're not. There are good dads who do a good job. There are really good dads who do a pretty good job, you know, and we kind of follow in that category because we are in such a tough situation to be given the example of our Heavenly Father and then to walk that perfect road. But we'll talk about that. So let me open it to you. What anybody here would like to come to one of the mics and just say, you know, I want to thank your dad, you're not here, or have a story that you want to share with us. At this time, just make your way to the microphone. Make your way to the microphone. There we go. All right, fantastic. All right. Thank you, Cooper. Thank you. Paul?
When I was stand out there and just stand there so that they could have enough to play. And when I had a bat, he had me just stand at the bat where they couldn't throw a strike, but I was short. But I just remember I spent a lot of time with my dad, and being the oldest, I got to go with him places and do things with him. But I remember a lot of time spending playing softball with him, and I really appreciate that.
Thank you, Paul. Okay. Amen. 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 Oh, fantastic. All right. Well, thank you. I know that, you know, many of us have wonderful memories of our father. And we share that. Matter of fact, my kids love to hear the stories of my parents, of what they told me, because my mom, for one, was a fantastic storyteller. She grew up on a farm, as poor as can be, and she had the greatest stories. Now, my dad, he kind of grew up in the city and from a well-to-do family, and he was not a storyteller. And matter of fact, we learned more about my dad from my mom and the things that she would say. And we're going to talk about that. How often we learn more from the spouse than we do from our actual dads, because they're quiet. You know, and God has set up the family to be such a way that so many times we learn more about the Father through the Spirit and through the Son. So let's take this time and hey, Kenny, will you pull up? You have up on the screen. I want to talk about the importance of fathers by first recognizing some statistics, some staggering statistics about what happens when fathers are absent. And as you look up here, we're going to see that statistics that are gathered at 43 is incredible. To have a father who is in a home, to have a good father, and most importantly, as we're going to talk about today, the importance of a spiritual father. What would the statistics look like if fathers were spiritually not around? What struggles would the children have and face because fathers are not the spiritual leaders? Has God called us, fathers, to fill that position? Or can we just simply delegate it to the mothers? Can we delegate it to the schools? Can we delegate it to the social systems? Can we delegate it to the flat screen TVs or to the flat screen devices? Is there a price that is paid if we decide to delegate it? These are the questions I think that we can legitimately ask, because as fathers, we are called to a high standard. We're called to a perfect standard. We are called to be like our Heavenly Father. And we can say, well, Lord, this is too great of a burden. Who can actually fulfill that? And we will all testify as fathers that we have failed. We will all testify, if we are the spiritual leaders of our homes, that we have a helpmate. And the helpmate is our wives, who come along and support, but doesn't take over the spiritual position as fathers. We have the Holy Spirit, who promises to guide us, to direct us, to recall to mind the teachings of Christ, that we can be good fathers. So though we have a daunting task, and though it is quite evident when the spiritual father isn't in the home, the difficulties that the child faces, because the child still grows up, the difficulty that the mom faces because she's doing the job of two people, in the spiritual world, we have an incredible responsibility, an incredible honor to fulfill that, because God in Genesis said, let us create man in our image. And in the image, he created him male and female. So from the very beginning, God created with the expectation that they should be fruitful and that they should multiply and that they should be fathers. And he put the man in the head of the home. And many of us, we go out and we've worked. And I remember the long hours that I used to work as a truck driver and going to college. And I had three little daughters at home. But I was still the spiritual leader. Simply providing for my family was only a part of what God has called me to do. And one of the lessons my dad said, you be a hard worker. Go out there, give it your best, and provide for your family. And I remember in the later years of teenagers, that's kind of how love was spelled out to me. I provide for you, don't I? Yeah, Dad, you do. And so I became a young man and I became a father. And then I looked at where I was at and where I wanted to take my family, how I wanted to provide for them. And so I put the long hours in. I remember times 80 hours a week. And I remember giving up early to come home so I'd catch my kids right before they would go to bed. And I would pray with them. And I would open their journals and I would write with them. And I would read with them as often as I could. And some days, some weeks, it wasn't until Friday that I had the opportunity to do that. So I saw my role because my dad taught me well. Son, you are a man. You are the leader of your home. You need to provide. And so physically, I went out and I provided for them. But at the same token, my wife was left home with the kids. And she suffered because she was there just as long of a days as I was, raising the kids. You know, and that's a wonderful thing because that's your helpmate. But did I have it wrong? Yeah, I had it kind of skewed, okay? And all of us fathers, as we kind of go down this road, what it is to be a father, we kind of have it skewed. But then we kind of learn along the way, and hopefully we start making some changes. And what we hope to do is to teach our next generation from the mistakes that we've made. So let's open our Bibles. We're going to look in Genesis in the very beginning here. Because I think that we understand that God created the marriage and he created the family in the Garden of Eden. And then he boot kicked us out into the wilderness and said, okay, I haven't taken the responsibility away from you that I created marriage and family in the garden, a perfect environment. Now you're going to learn to be fathers and mothers. You're going to learn to raise your children in an imperfect environment. Matter of fact, you're going to learn to do it by the sweat of your brow. And it's going to be painful. But just as labor pains at the end is given way to joy, so parenthood is. We learn to raise our kids by the sweat of our brow. Some of it is hard work, hard labor. Others is worry. Oh my, where is my child tonight? What are they doing? Or what did they do? They always remain your children. And you know that, Father, and if you're at a stage in life where I am, your children are grown, right? And now you have grandchildren. And you say, well, they're not mine. They're not my children, but I do still have children. And when I watch their parenting, I'm thinking, I know where they got that from. Their mother. No, you see, and you start seeing your own self and your own children, and then you try to continue to parent your parenting child, okay? And you know that you're cautious because you don't want to step over your bounds and say, you know, your little grandson there, your little granddaughter, you know, maybe you shouldn't be so harsh on them. But Dad, you raised us, and I know what I did. Well, we turned out okay by the grace of God. You turned out okay. And that's what we depend on, is the grace of God. But the charge is never over until we are gone and on our way, and we are in glory. And our relationships with one another, our children, our spouse, will all be different. Okay, we are parents. But what I want to talk about today is something that includes all of us, because it is the fatherhood of God, and it is, in fact, the state of being. It is a state of being. So no matter if you have children or don't have children, no matter if you are a man or if you are a woman, it is a state of being. That's what fatherhood is. God has given us the image of a heavenly father. Not because he is in fact a father. He did have a son, and we understand that. But it becomes a little confusing because God is spirit, but he's given a creation, designed it in such a way that we can know him by our experiences. And because of the Garden of Eden, we have chosen, or it was chosen for us, to learn the lessons from the tree of good and evil. So instead of learning the lessons all from good, every day is a Father's Day, right? We get to learn the lessons from those bad days as well, from those bad examples. And let me tell you, look into the scriptures. There is only one good father. One. Was it Abraham? Not bad. Definitely wasn't perfect. What did we learn from Abraham? Ladies first. Ladies first, but not in a good way, right? He wanted to protect his own life, so he set his beautiful wife out in front of him. Ladies first. I don't think, Dad, that's what it means. That's what I learned, though. That's what his son Isaac learned. Same idea. I remember everything you told me, Dad. Ladies first. And Jacob, third generation, right, he learned it really well. He says, not only ladies first, but kids first. Let's put the whole group in front of me. All right? But we learn something what not to do, okay? Because that's how God teaches us. That's how we were destined from the time of the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve took of that fruit, how we are to learn from good things and bad things. And God has given us both. And the scriptures are filled with that. And the good things that we learn are him. He is good in his essence. And we're going to see what fatherhood, the state of being, is all about. Not through the examples of Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. Not through Moses. Not through some of the apostles. We're going to learn it through one and only, and that's God. And we can quickly jump into the New Testament. And then, and this is a wonderful conversation. You're going to see the details in the outline, and you're more than free to go back to there and get all the footnotes as to what I'm going to talk about today. But we see the wonderful story of Jesus. And he's preparing his disciples for the very end. He says, the days are limited, guys. I'm going to be leaving this world. I think it was Thomas said, well, where are you going? He goes, what do you mean, where am I going? He goes, I am the way, the truth, and the life. What do you mean, where am I going? Well, if we knew where you were going, we could find you. And we could be with you. And Jesus is like shaking his head. Dudes, I've been with you for how long? I've been teaching you for how long? I have been a shepherd to you for how long? And yet you don't understand. And Philip goes, well, show us the Father. And the conversation was kind of like this. He says, if you know me, you know the Father. And they're kind of scratching their head. The Heavenly Father, you've done all these miracles. Just show us the Father. And Jesus says, have I been so long with you, Philip, that you do not see the Father in me? Because Father is a state of being. And Jesus says, if you know me, you know the Father. If you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Because fatherhood is a state of being. If you have biological children, you have a particular way, you have a particular responsibility. But even if you don't and your children are gone, you still have a responsibility to the state of being a father. And we call that mentoring. We want to change the word because it's much easier to tell a younger man, I want to mentor you than I want to be your father. Because it gets a little confusing. But what we see in Jesus as he tried to explain to his disciples, he says, if you have seen me, if you have known me, you have known the Father. And if you don't believe, it just will believe on everything I've shown you. And then he says, okay, but they didn't understand until the helpmate came by. And the helpmate was the Holy Spirit to remind them of everything that Jesus has talked about. And sometimes we're trying to learn from the Heavenly Father can be difficult. It can be a bit confusing. And we learn the lessons and we listen. And then as we go through life and experience, God brings back to us what those messages are. But to understand fatherhood is to understand God, and that we were created in his image to be like him, to walk like him, to father others like him. So what is it to be the father? To so love the world that you're willing to give up the most precious thing in your life. For who? For those who don't love you. We are called to the high standard to love our enemies, to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love our wives as our own bodies. Fathers, that's what we're responsible for. We're all responsible, but fathers, we're the spiritual leaders. We are to go forward. As you see up here, and as you're going to find in the card that you'll find with the pen and the pencil, the verse that we have here, it says, "Fix these words of mine in your heart and minds. Tie them as reminders on your hands and bind them on your forehead. Teach them to your children. Speak about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." Moses' call to us to teach at every aspect in our lives. When I snuck into the back of the car and surprised my dad on that Saturday morning, he got pretty good at actually checking before he left after that. He taught me at work. He taught me when we were mowing the grass. He taught me how to mow the grass. He taught me as we walked together what it was to be a father, what it is to be a man. My dad didn't have that spiritual perspective, not till later in life. And so he missed out on that opportunity. He missed out into the joy of walking with his children and sharing what it is to go into the promised land. It's the promised land of milk and honey. It is fatherhood that God wants us to be a part of him and to walk in and to enjoy. And fatherhood is done by the sweat of the brow. It was commanded in a perfect environment and lived out in a fallen world, but it hasn't changed. And then we can look at other examples. And I want to look at one that sometimes fathers we can have a difficulty with, and that is the life of Moses. Moses was two times to strike to bring water. One time he used to strike the rock, and it would bring forth water, and that was the command. A second time, he struck the rock twice. And because he struck the rock twice, and God told him, "I want you to speak to the rock, and it will bring forth water." But because of his anger that these people are so disobedient, can you put yourself in that as fathers? Have you ever been in a place where you're trying to teach your children, and you just want to strike the rock? But God says, don't strike the rock. Speak to the rock. There are times that we strike the rock, and there are times that we speak to the rock. Moses was not allowed to go into promised land because he struck the rock when he was supposed to speak, and he did so in anger. The anger of man will never achieve the righteousness of God. James tells us, those are his exact words. Our anger, though we can shape our children's behavior, will never create what God wants to accomplish, his righteousness. And that's what fatherhood's about. It's not modifying behavior. Although at times we want to modify behavior, the ultimate goal is to change the heart and the righteous to the righteousness it is meant to be in the image of God. And that's difficult. Moses struck the rock twice when he was supposed to speak. Did water come forth? It sure did. And then God said to Moses, "You're not going into the promised land. Why can't I go in? It brought forth water, right? That's what I was supposed to accomplish." No. Water was the result. Eternal water that was to provide was the result of what I wanted you to accomplish. What I wanted you to accomplish Is it even in your anger and your frustration you spoke and you taught and you did not strike the rock? And you can't enter the promised land. I'm going to show you the promised land. If we parent, if we fatherhood through anger, we're not going to see the promised land. We're not going to see what God wants us to. We'll see it from a distance. Does that mean our children are lost? No, they're not lost. Love covers a multitude of sin. And God is gracious and kind. He's the ultimate father. And he will always come alongside. You know, I don't know how many times, and you can reflect this, that I would be angry with my dad. I remember one time he took me to the woodshed, and you know what that means. And I'm thinking, what in the world is this about? And I was angry. Because I wasn't quite sure what this was all about. He didn't explain to me what this was all about. But my mom did. And my mama says, you have got to honor your dad no matter what. And she taught me to honor my father no matter what. And then she explained to me what my dad did not, why he took me behind the woodshed. Sometimes God will bring things into our lives and we think, what in the world is this about? And quiet yourself. And just like our helpmate, our wives will come along and explain to our children to reinforce the lessons that we need to learn. The Holy Spirit does the same thing. When things come in our life and we think, this is crazy. What in the world did I do wrong? God's Holy Spirit comes in as a comforting voice, but one that speaks truth, one that speaks mercy. The Godhead works in unison together. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we see this in the family life. We have the Father. You're ahead of the responsibility. You provide for your family, but you're the spiritual leader. And then we have the wife who doesn't overrule the Father. Comes along and explains a lot of things that just are difficult to understand, but always saying, you need to respect your father. You need to honor him. And it's difficult when we go through things in life and we wonder, why did this happen? Listen to the Holy Spirit, the helpmate, who comes around and explains things to us. God is the perfect Heavenly Father. You know, just as in fatherhood, we can't neglect our responsibility spiritually. Spiritually, we can't neglect that and say, well, God will handle it. God's Holy Spirit will speak to my child. I don't really have the words. I'm not quite sure what to say. God will do it. No. He is one who comes alongside. So the order of fatherhood is a blessed responsibility. But it is also a daunting responsibility. And so even now, at the age I am at, where I'm at, with children and grandchildren, being a father has not ended. And being a mentor has not ended. The call of fatherhood is a state of being, and it's one we need to always be about. So if your kids are grown and they're gone, find a young man that you can mentor, that you can be a father to. Why? Because that's the image that you were created to be. And it doesn't stop when they move out of the house. So the blessed responsibility is an awesome responsibility that we have to be fathers. Pick up a card and this. You know, just like that piece of paper that I was telling you about, that folder that I got, and I kind of flipped open and I'm looking at it, and then it reminded me of my dad when I came across and I looked at this. Let this be a reminder to you. Let it be a reminder to you that the pen that you have is because you signed your life away. And every time you write with that pen, remember that you signed your life away to God and he gave you a new one. And it is the state of being a father. And then the light. Every time you use it, or your kids want to use it, because your kids will want to use it, or your grandkids will want to use it when it turns on, remember. Remember that at times it's dark and we don't know where to go or where to turn. But God's word is a light to our path. He provides guidance and direction. Not reading God's word is like being in the dark without a light. You don't know where to go. Keep it near and use it often. You know, the other night I left here rather late, and I tell you what, darkness here at this church is dark, darker than dark. When I was in the suburbs, you walk out and it was dark. There was always lights. But when I walk out here and I'm thinking, I just want to get to my car and the light of my dome doesn't turn on, I'm thinking, I sure hope nobody's in the back seat. I'm 61 years old. What do I have to be afraid of, right? But darkness has a way of doing that. Not knowing where you're at or what's out there has a way of doing that. And God's word is always a light. And no matter where you are in your life, how old you are, there are going to be times where it is downright scary. And you can say to yourself, I have nothing to worry about, but there's a comfort when I turn those car lights on, all right, and I can see. And there's a comfort when you open God's word. He's always there, but sometimes you can't see him. This is fatherhood, folks. It is a wonderful opportunity and privilege that we have to be fathers. Let's close with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you have given us a perfect example and a perfect call. And Jesus says we are to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect. God have mercy. God have mercy on us as we go out to be fathers, to our children and to others. A calling that you have placed upon us, a state of being that you have created us into the image of. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that comes along our way, that provides us the comfort, the strength, the insight when we need it most. We give you praise and we give you glory, the only one and true perfect God and Father of all. Amen.
Why don't you stand with us as we sing?